Turn to the book of Exodus in your Bibles. Exodus chapter number 15. We'll be looking verses 23 through 27 of Exodus chapter number 15. Stand with me, please. I'll begin on verse number 23, and then if you'll join me on the even number verses. And we'll read of Exodus 15, verse number 23. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And he said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and give all his... I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." And when they came to Elim, there were 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, Lord, it's been such a good day. Thank you so much for the good services. And Lord, thank you so much for the service that we've had so far tonight, the good singing, good announcements. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you please now be with the preaching time. Lord, this is why we're here. We ask that you please speak through our preacher. Give him the words to say. Pray, Lord, that you please help us to listen and to listen for what you have for us. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
The news came to Jesus. Please come fast. Lazarus is sick, and without your help, he will not last.
Mary and Martha watched their brother die. They waited for Jesus. He did not come, and they wondered why.
The death watch was over, buried for days. Somebody said, "He'll soon be here, the Lord's on his way."
Martha ran to him, and then she cried, "Lord, if you had been here, you could have healed him, he'd still be alive."
But you're 4 days late.
Understand why you waited so long, but Isn't it wonderful to be a Christian? I can't think of anything more wonderful in life than to be a Christian. Thank you for that wonderful song. All right, I want to speak tonight on the subject from Mara to Elam. From Mara to Elam. They were at Mara, verse 27. They came to Elam. So we're going to go from Mara to Elam tonight. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the encouraging song that, God, you are never late. You're always right on time according to your calendar and time clock. We're grateful tonight for that truth. Thank you, Lord, that one of these days, all those gravestones are going to be rolled back and our loved ones are going to come out of that ground, those that were saved. How encouraging that is. And so, Lord, we need you tonight. I pray that you'll please help me, help the folks. We took some encouragement from this passage last Sunday night. We come back to it again for some more help. And Holy Spirit, would you please feed us from it and help us tonight, I pray in Jesus' name. And amen. So if you were here last Sunday evening, you probably remember and recognize this text. It was where we preached from last Sunday evening, a message entitled, "You Don't Have to Drink It." You don't have to drink it. The bitter waters of Mara were all around the children of Israel. And they went to Moses and, "What shall we drink?" Well, don't drink that. You don't have to drink it. Now, tonight, we are back again, the same passage, pardon me, to look at this story one more time. And we can come back next week and the next week, and you'll never exhaust the Word of God. And I do want to remind you, too, that in 1 Corinthians 10, God tells us that these things that happened to the children of Israel were recorded for our admonition. Now, folks, you understand there's a lot of things that happened to the children of Israel that were not recorded. So everything that was recorded is for a reason and a purpose for you and me to gain from and learn from. And so we're going to look at that way tonight. It certainly behooves us to look closely at these stories. Now, the message last week, "You Don't Have to Drink It," divided into three parts. Before Mara, point one. Mara, point two. Pardon me, point three. After Mara. Before Mara, there was salvation. Before Mara, there was a baptism into the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Before Mara, there was joy. There was blessing, if you will. There was victory over the enemy. All of that before Mara. And then at Mara, there was bitterness. There was want. There was need. They'd gone... I've got something in my throat. I'm going to have to get it out or get a drink. One of the two. Pardon me. I'm sorry. Now, so they're at Mara. They went 3 days' journey with no water. They're thirsty. When they got to Mara, the waters are bitter. After Mara, there were 12 wells and 70 palm trees at Elam. They encamped there. There was restoration. There was refreshment. There was rest. It was a tree that made the bitter waters at Mara sweet. Sweet for the Israelites. And people, when bitter waters surround you, you don't have to drink them. You don't have to get them in you, okay? Thinking and just going over it and living it and consuming it, you don't have to drink of those bitter waters. When bitter waters surround you, they can be made sweet by looking at Jesus Christ, keeping your eyes on Him, looking at the cross, realizing that Jesus has done far more for me than anyone could possibly do against me. Anybody could possibly do against me. And then, if we'll do that, we can move on from Mara to Elam. And that's what happened. They came to Mara. The waters were bitter, but they didn't drink of the water there. They were made sweet by the tree, and they moved on. I was visiting with one of the brethren in the church here this week a little bit, and more than one person mentioned, "Thank you for the message last Sunday night. It was a help. The help. The message was a help. You don't have to drink. It was a help." And the brother, you know, was indicating that was a helpful message. He said, Elam is a great place. He said, "Sometimes I wonder, how do you go from Elam? How do you go from Mara to Elam?" I didn't preach all the verses in this text last week. And that got on my mind, man. As soon as he made that statement, I thought, there's another message there because it's right in these verses. How do you go from Mara to Elam? Nobody wants to stay in Mara. Well, I shouldn't say that. I guess some people do enjoy Mara. They'd rather stay there and complain about how bitter it is and just wallow in it than get away from it and move on to Elam. And you know, we have to get out of Mara. If we get out of Mara, Elam will be waiting. So I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about how to go from Mara to Elam, okay? If you're interested, you know, maybe you're at one of those bitter times in life right now. And by the way, all of us, Mara was in the path chosen by God for the people of Israel. It was in their path. I've been to Mara before. I will go to Mara again. Some of you are at Mara right now. Some of you have been to Mara before. You'll go to Mara again. There are many Maras on the path of life. So how do you go from Mara to Elam? All right? I want you to see two or three things here in these verses. First of all, I want you to see that they were taught at Mara. The children of Israel were taught at Mara. Look at verse number 25. And he cried unto the Lord. The Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. Now watch this. There he made them a statute and an ordinance. There he made them a statute and an ordinance. Now, I don't know what you think about when you read the word statute and ordinance. When I read the word statute and ordinance, I think about the Old Testament law. But people, wait, they didn't have the law. This was before the time that God gave them the law. So all the statutes and the ordinances that God gave them later were yet to come. They didn't have any written statutes. They didn't have any written ordinances. But in some way, God taught them, God instructed them according to His will for their lives. And listen, He did it at Mara. There was something that God taught them at Mara. God had to bring them to Mara to teach it to them. They may not could have learned it anywhere else. But they learned it at Mara. So we need to realize when we are at Mara, there is something that God wants to teach us. When you hit the bitter circumstance, when you hit the bitter happening, when you hit the bitter event, am I going to relist all the things I talked about last Sunday night? It could be family, it could be financial, it could be work, it could be relationship oriented, it could be anything. When you hit the bitter place of Mara, understand that God wants to teach you something there. Now, you and I have a huge advantage over the Israelites because we now not only have the statutes and ordinances of the law, we have 61 other books to go with the 5 books of the law. We have a whole Bible. But folks, I want to make a statement tonight. It really doesn't matter how many books we could learn from. What matters is that we're even interested in learning. Do we even realize that we are at Mara for a reason? God does not bring His children to Mara just to smash them. God brings His children to Mara to teach them here at this place. He taught them a statute. Here at this place, He taught them an ordinance. Now, here's how it usually breaks down for me and you. We come to Mara. Mara is a place of bitterness, bitter circumstances, bitter happenings, bitter things in our lives. And am I going to list all those? Once we come to Mara, we're now uncomfortable. We're restless. It's not a convenient place. It's unpleasant. Our nest is disturbed, if you will. We are shaken up a bit. Our stability is shaken. We are unsettled. And our immediate concern is, God, fix this. God, get me out of this. Change this. Make this go away. Make this stop. You see, we're not interested in learning from Mara. We're more interested in leaving Mara. The people, we're not going to leave until we learn. God wants to teach us something at Mara. He brought the children of Israel to Mara, and the Bible says He taught them a statute, He taught them an ordinance, He instructed them, He gave them some learning. We're more interested in how to get out of it, and I'm not saying that we ought to want to stay in it and wallow in it, but while we're there, we better be interested in being teachable what God has for us there. You know, we get mad at the person we feel is creating the bitterness. were causing the bitterness. That's what they did in verse 24. They murmured against Moses. We are mad. We're upset with the circumstances. We hold someone, we hold something responsible for the bitter waters when what we need to do is stop. Stop. And say, what are you teaching? What are you teaching? What are you trying to teach me here? Because the Bible says there, He gave them a statute and an ordinance. At that place, at the place of bitter waters, God taught them. Lord, I don't enjoy this. I am uncomfortable. It's inconvenient. I am not at all stable in this place. But I must know, what are you teaching me? What do you want me to learn? It's much like, folks, it's much the same thing with the potter and the clay. The clay is on the wheel, and the potter is molding the clay. And as he pushes and he shapes, you know, to make that vessel to hold water or flowers or whatever, just a decorative piece to go on the mantle, he's pushing and he's shaping. And, you know, he feels in the clay a flaw. He feels that little piece of grit, that little piece of a small pebble. And he knows that's got to come out. And so now it's not just a gentle shaping. Now there's pressure. And there's this pushing. And there's this mashing and this molding. And you know what we want? What we say, oh, stop. You stop. Instead, we want to know, we should want to know, what are you trying to do? What are you trying to teach me? What is it you want me to learn? You know, some years ago, and I've had a few Maras in my life, not near as bad as some other Christians. That's just been God's choice for my life and choice for some of your lives. Been to much better places than I've been. But some of you will remember this. We had to take measures against a couple, a man and his wife, who were troublesome and they were contentious. And they weren't just troublesome and contentious here at church. They were troublesome and contentious everywhere. And she got booted out of a retail store and told that she couldn't come back there ever again. Some of you may remember those circumstances, situation. And they caused a lot of unease, unfortunately, here at the church. And we decided we got a biblical plan together. And we were following that biblical plan to deal with that. Now, in the middle of all that, somehow they got a list of families here in the church. I don't know how many families. I know they got a list of a lot of addresses and people here in the church. And they circulated a letter. And basically the letter was about me, and it was about the fact that I was being unbiblical, and I was being, you know, I was insinuating some things that were not true. And, you know, they were the peacemakers. I was the troublemaker. They were being unfairly singled out and picked on. And I was the one that was the actually, even new families in our church got the letter. Families hadn't been here very long. Families that had been discipled, just finished discipleship, and one of the men still comes to us here in church this morning, still comes faithfully with his family. One of the men went with that letter to one man here in the church, the man that had discipled him, and said, what do I do about this? Now, I came to church shaking everybody's hand, knowing everybody had gotten a letter about me. I'll tell you, that was bitter. That's bitter. And in my flesh, you know what I wanted to do? Boy, I wanted to strike out. And I wanted to come to the pulpit and just rip and tear and breathe fire and smash. And it's like a dragon. And believe me, I probably could do that if I tried. All right? But you know, the Holy Spirit of God settled me down. And said, look, you've got a biblical plan. Some of you men were involved in that biblical plan. They even went to a fairly new man in the church and tried to drag him in on their side. Thank God he had enough spiritual discernment to come see me. And I didn't just take the... I let him talk to the other men that were on the in dealing with this thing with me. And he ended up being on the right side of the issue. And he's a good brother, still loves it. He moved away with his wife to another state now, going to church faithfully, and still makes contact, still stops in here when they're back in the area. And But God settled my... The Holy Spirit of God settled my heart down. Said, you've got a biblical plan and you're going about it the right way. And you know what? God... That was a bitter circumstance, but God wanted to teach me there. God taught me that He is bigger than the tongues and pens of people. God's bigger than that. And God, I don't need, God will vindicate things and God will take care of it. And let God, just let Him put it to rest. And God taught me. It was bitter, but I came to shake your hand, and in my mind, I'm shaking your hand, and you got a letter about me. And you know what? I don't know how you took that letter. I don't know how you interpreted it. I don't know if you sat around the table and thought, what do you think about this? With your wife or your husband? That was bitter. That's bitter water. But God taught me. He taught me. And that is a mild case of what I am talking about tonight. But I'm simply saying there are lessons that we can only be taught at Marah. You can't learn at Elam what you can learn at Marah. The lessons can only be taught at Marah. The lessons can only be taught in the midst of bitter circumstances. And sometimes, those bitter circumstances are on the path of our life specifically because God has something He wants to teach us. And I can't teach you in Egypt what I can teach you at Marah. And I can't teach you at the Red Sea what I can teach you in Marah. And I can't teach you at Elam what I can teach you at Marah. I can only teach you what I want to teach you at Marah, at Marah. Does that make sense? The bitter circumstances. So if you look back, if you look back at Marahs in your life, you could take the pulpit tonight and some of you could give testimony that it was at the Marahs of your life that God taught you some wonderful truths, some wonderful lessons. So God taught them. They were taught at Marah. Number two, I want you to see that they took a test at Marah. Look at verse number 25 again. There He made for them a statute and an ordinance. And there, secondly, a different thing, He proved them. He tested them. Now, isn't it interesting that the word there is used twice? There He taught them. There He tested them. In other words, folks, God, I think, is emphasizing it wasn't wasted time at Marah. God had a plan and God had a purpose for the children of Israel being at Marah. And He taught them and then He tested them. Do you know that there is a difference in being taught and learning? There's a difference in being taught and learning. God not only taught them there, He tested them there. He proved them. Are you going to learn what I want you to learn? Are you going to turn back to Egypt? Or are you going to trust me after salvation? And the picture of being baptized into Christ. Salvation, the picture, was the deliverance from Egypt by the blood of the Lamb. The Red Sea was the picture of the baptism of our unto the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And the victory over the Egyptians was the victory over the enemy. So God says, are you going to give up on me at the slightest bit of trouble? Are you going to remember all that I have done for you? Are you going to get swallowed by the circumstances that are around you? By what people do against you? Are you going to stay with me? Folks, do you realize that the answer to those questions can only come from taking the test? Listen, we can say, yes, we know in theory. But testing proves whether we've learned it or not. You understand what I'm saying? Everybody can say in theory, yes, oh yes, oh yes, I've learned that. But we'll never know for sure that we've learned it until we're tested. Oh no, God, of course we won't turn back on you. Oh no, of course we won't forget all that you've done for us. Of course we'll never go back from following you. You know what all of that is, folks? All of that's talk. All of that's theory until we get tested. Then we find out the truth. How many of God's people down through the years have sung the song, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow. I have decided to follow. No turning back. No world behind me. The cross before me. Egypt behind me. Promised land before me. No turning back. Oh, it sounds good. That's all theory until we're tested. Then the truth comes out. And boy, God puts us in the test to see if we've learned the lessons. He tries to teach us something, try to teach you how to handle this thing, teach you an ordinance, teach you a statute, teach you a principle here, teach you, help you a little bit. But now I've got to make sure that you've learned it, so I'm going to run you through a test, because anybody can talk about learning. The test will make sure if you learned it or not. You know, does that make sense? We're together tonight. You know, that's what happens up at the school. You know, it happens in school. That's how it is. You know, a teacher gets up and teaches, and the student says, yeah, I'm learning it. What's the proof of that? The test. The test. I'm going to tell you something, man. Sit there in college class and teach lessons. Y'all understand? Y'all, we got to pass the test out. They ain't learned nothing. They ain't learned nothing from a college professor. They ain't learned a thing. That's terrible English. But you understand what I'm saying tonight, right? Now, you know what? That's one thing to be taught a math lesson and be able to be tested on it and do it on paper and show that you've learned how to handle the concepts of math. Something else to be taught a history lesson and be tested on it and show that you've learned some history, United States history, world history, whatever. But when God teaches us a life principle, the only way He can test us is in life. So He brings us tomorrow sometimes to teach us and test us. Have you learned what I wanted to teach you here? I know you say you've learned it in theory, but I got to put you through tomorrow. Got to get the bitter waters around you to see if you have learned what I have been trying to teach you. Listen, folks, the test is not so God can know if we've learned. The test is so that we can know we have learned. God's going to test me so He can find out. I think God's already got that covered. God tests us for us to know. And you know what I've had happen in my college classes? When they fail the test, have to take the class over again. And take it over again if necessary. I'm just simply saying, friend, nobody enjoys Mara, but God had something to teach these people at Mara that He could only teach them at Mara. And there He taught them, and there He proved them. Before you leave here, I want you to prove you've learned what I tried to teach. So God taught him at Mara, and God tested him at Mara. Now look at the third thing. I want you to see what God told him. Look at verse number 26. And He said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in His sight, and will give ear to His commandments, and keep all His statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. So God said, here's how it works. You know, there I taught you, there I tested you. I taught you at Mara, I tested you at Mara. And now if you listen to me, and if you obey me, if you listen and if you obey. We kind of sing a song like that every now and again. Trust and obey. For there's no other way. You trust me and you obey me. I'm going to teach you and I'm going to test you. And you trust and you obey. And I promise it will be different for you than it was for the Egyptians. You come tomorrow. You be taught. You be tested. And you trust me and obey. You say, Pastor, how do we do that? We have to get in the book. This is the only way that we can keep our eyes on Christ. This is the only way to throw the tree into the situation. Get in the book. Read God's promises. Trust Him. As God teaches us from the Bible about the Mara that we're in. Teach, get taught and get tested and trust Him and obey and drink the sweet waters of trusting and obeying the Lord. And the Bible says that God will heal us. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Bitter water around you, you don't have to drink it. But folks, if you drink it, do you know what happens? I thought about this since Thursday or Friday. Friday. Hebrews 12:15 says that there is a root of bitterness in us. It's in all of us. It's part of the sin nature. Let me ask you a question. What does a root need to grow and flourish? Let's let Job answer the question for us. In the book of Job, he spoke of the root lingering in the earth. The stock of the tree was gone. And Job said, through the scent of water. The scent of water. The root can grow and flourish. If you get to Mara and the waters are bitter around you and you consume that bitter water, it can create a tree from the root. And it'll mess you up and defile you and trouble others. It's the sweet water of trust and obedience when we're at Mara that causes us to learn the lessons that God wants to teach us, pass the test, and move on to 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. But you get to bitter water on a bitter root, I bet you know somebody like that. I bet you know somebody consumed with bitterness. Didn't start out as a flourishing tree, started out as a root. They hit bitter circumstances, wallowed in the water, drank of it. And brother, if the scent of water can make a root grow and flourish, what can consuming bitter water do to a root? Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. You know, how do you move from Mara to Elam? You realize at Mara God's teaching you. And you realize at Mara that God is testing you. And you trust Him. You trust Him. And obey. And in doing that, friend, you avoid drinking of the waters that are all around you. And you move to that place of restoration and refreshment and rest at Elam with those 70 palm trees and those 12 wells of water. I don't know why God's had me preach on the subject of bitterness the last couple of Sunday nights. I do know this. A lot of preachers who travel as evangelists will tell you that one of the things that's killing God's people in churches today is bitterness. Bitterness. And, you know, it makes sense when you think about it because everybody comes tomorrow. Everybody. Everybody comes to some kind of Mara. You don't have to drink it. You want to move on from Mara to Eden. By realizing you're being taught, you're being tested, I want to trust Him. Obey. And you'll make that short journey from Mara to Elam. It's a blessed place to be. Amen. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening tonight. Heavenly Father, I'm not sure exactly why the messages the last couple of weeks you've wanted in this church and from this pulpit, but I pray that you'll take them tonight. Help folks in whatever place they are in life right now, God. I pray that you'll help them. Wherever we come tomorrow, help us to realize you want to teach us. You want to test us there. There are things that we can only learn at Mara. We can't learn anywhere else. Lord, help us to trust you. What you teach us and how you test us is for our good. And help us to trust you and obey and move on from Mara to Elam, that place of refreshment, restoration, and rest. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I wonder tonight, say, Pastor, over the last couple of weeks, the Spirit of God has helped me in my heart and pointed out some things I needed to know. And I think maybe a little light from the Word of God has helped me and appreciate it. And I needed the help. Pray for me. I respond rightly to the preaching and teaching of God's Word. The Lord spoke to your heart about a hand in the air tonight. Just acknowledge that. God bless you. Amen. I appreciate so many hands. Let's stand together. If you're not saved, now's the time to get saved. If you need to be baptized, that's always an option, of course, available. But right now, altar is open. Ladies are playing. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. You come tonight. Let the Spirit of God help you.